12. Sanctuary and Sacrifice. 1. The London Sanctuary sat at a bend in the river near the edge of the city, a stone structure with the simple elegance of a temple and an air just as reverent. It was a place where men and women came to study magic as much as worship it. Scholars and masters here spent their lives striving to comprehend and connect with the essence of power, the origin, the source, to understand the element of magic, the entity in all and yet of none. As a child, Kell had spent as much time in the sanctuary as he had in the palace, studying under and being studied by his tutor, Master Tiran. But though he visited now and then, he had not been back to stay in years, not since Rye began to throw tantrums at Kell's every absence, insisting that the latter be not only a fixture, but also a family member. Still, Tiran insisted that he would always have a room there, and so Kell had kept the door drawn on his wall, marked by a simple circle of blood with an X drawn through, the symbol of sanctuary. Now he and Lila, with a bloody rye between them, stumbled through, out of the grandeur and current chaos of the palace, and into a simple stone room. Candlelight flickered against the smooth rock walls, and the chamber itself was narrow and high-ceilinged and sparsely furnished. The sanctuary scorned distraction, the private chambers supplied with only the essential. Kell may have been Arven, blessed, but Tiran insisted on treating him as he would any other student, a fact for which Kell was grateful. As such, his room held neither more nor less than any other. A wooden desk along one wall and a low cot along another, with a small table beside it. On the table, burning as it always burned, sat an infinite candle. The room had no windows and only one door, and the air held the coolness of underground places, of crypts. A circle was etched into the floor, symbols scrawled around the edges. An enhancing sphere meant for meditation. Rye's blood trailed a path across it as Kell and Lila dragged into the cot and laid him down as gently as possible. "Stay with me," Kell kept saying. But Rye's quiet, "sure," and "all right," and "as you wish," had given way to silence and shallow breaths. "How many Asharis?" had Kell said. The word had once more become a low chant on his lips, in his head, in his heartbeat. But Rye was not healing. How long until the magic worked? It had to work. Fear clawed its way up Kell's throat. He should have looked at Astrid's weapon, should have paid attention to the metal and the markings on it. Had she done something to block his magic? Why wasn't it working? "Stay with me," he murmured. Rye had stopped moving. His eyes were closed and the strain had gone out of his jaw.
"Kell," Lila said softly, "I think it's too late."
"No," he said, gripping the cot. "It's not. The magic just needs time. You don't understand how it works."
"Kell,
it just needs time." Kell pressed both hands to his brother's chest and stifled a cry. It neither rose nor fell. He couldn't feel a heartbeat underneath the ribs.
"I can't,"
he said, gasping as if he too was starved of air.
"I can't."
Kell's voice wavered as his fingers tangled in his brother's bloody shirt.
"I can't give up."
"It's over," said Lila. "There's nothing you can do."
But that wasn't true. There was still something. All the warmth went out of Kell's body, but so did the hesitation and the confusion and the fear. He knew what to do, knew what he had to do.
"Give me the stone," he said.
"No,"
Lila, give me the bloody stone before it's too late.
It's already too late. He's
not dead, snapped Kell. He held out a stained and shaking hand. Give it to me. Lila's hand went to her pocket and hovered there.
There's a reason I'm holding it, Kell, she said.
Damn it, Lila. Please.
She let out a shaky breath and withdrew the stone. He ripped it from her fingers, ignoring the pulse of power up his arm as he turned back to Rye's body.
You told me yourself nothing good comes out of this, said Lila as Kell set the stone over Rye's unbeating heart and pressed his palm down on top of it. I know you're upset, but you can't think that this...
But he couldn't hear. Her voice dissolved along with everything else as Kell focused on the magic coursing in his veins.
Save him, he ordered the stone.
Power sang through his blood and smoke poured out from under his fingers. It snaked up his arm and around Rye's ribs, turning to blackened rope as it tangled around them, tying them together, binding them. But Rye still lay there, unmoving.
My life is his life, thought Kell. His life is mine. Bind it to mine and bring him back.
He could feel the magic, hungry and wanting, pushing against him, trying to tap into his body, his power, his life force. And this time, he let it in. As soon as he did, the black rope tightened and Kell's heart lurched in his chest. It skipped a beat, and Rye's heart caught it, thudding once beneath Kell's touch. For an instant, all he felt was relief, joy. Then, pain. Like being torn apart one nerve at a time. Kell screamed as he doubled forward over the prince, but he didn't let go. Rye's back arched under his hand, the dark coils of magic cinching around them. The pain only worsened, carved itself in burning strokes over Kell's skin, his heart, his life.
Kell!
Lila's voice broke through the fog and he saw her rushing forward a step and then two, already reaching out to stop him, to pull him free of the spell.
Stop, he thought.
He didn't say it, didn't raise a finger, but the magic was in his head and it heard his will. It rushed through him and the smoke rushed out and slammed Lila backward. She hit the stone wall hard and crumpled to the floor. Something in Kell stirred, distant and hushed.
Wrong, it whispered. This is...
But then another wave of pain sent him reeling. Power pounded through his veins and his head came to rest against his brother's ribs as the pain tore through him, skin and muscle, bone and soul. Rye gasped, and so did Kell, his heart skipping once more in his chest. And then it stopped.